Now it's the intention that everyone communing tonight has received a piece of this bread. And if anyone has been missed, just make it known and we'll see to that. I don't see any response to that. If I might just share a little experience, if it's not out of place. Sometimes when I take this piece of bread and I break off a piece and I think about what it represents, the wounds that our Savior received for me, and I break off a piece, and you can count however many wounds you think he received. Maybe just consider the thorn of crowns, or the crown of thorns, and the spear that pierced his side, and the nails that were on his hands and feet. And I've done that before, and I end up in a representation of those pieces. Sometimes I end up with a pretty large chunk left over. And I have to think, that might have been for the wounds that I caused him. And it can be challenging to eat that last piece. So with our minds carried back, and with the price of our salvation, the death of our Lord on the cross, what has cost him, the death of his body, we can now partake. The next verse in Luke, the 22nd chapter, the verse 20 says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Likewise, he prayed for the cup. Likewise. So we want to do that tonight. So again, we're going to ask all who are communing to rise, and we'll offer a prayer for this cup that we hold. Father, again, we say thank you because you've taught us to do that. We thank you especially tonight for this cup that we hold in our hand and the contents that are in it, and the meaning that it is for our lives. We know that it is contained of the fruit of the vine that has been crushed and has been fermented. But tonight I pray that you would bless it to more than that. You would bless it to the strengthening and sustaining of our spirits that dwell within us. As an emblem of your shed blood, the blood that you shed on Calvary for each one of us. We thank you. And we just pray that as we take a sip of this cup and we take it into our bodies, that it would bless us in a special way, even beyond words that we can explain or even possibly understand. And we pray that you would do that tonight. And thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul again asks the question, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And we're going to say affirmatively, beloved brother, this cup is the communion of the blood of Christ.
Yes, it is.
The price has been paid. The finished work of Calvary is done. Christ's blood has been spilled out for you and for me, and we have reason to rejoice. Now again, as we've asked before, been intended that each one communing has had a sip of this cup. And if anyone has been missed, you can make it known it will be attended to at this time. I see no response. When we read in the scripture, in John 13, Jesus asked his disciples, "Know ye what I have done unto you?" And I wonder tonight if we really know the depths of what we've done. The implications that it can have on our hearts, our spirit, our soul, our eternities. Let's ponder that for a little bit. Do we know what we have done? We believe that we have followed the instruction of the scriptures, and there's a blessing in that. There certainly is. But there's some things in the scriptures that we don't plumb the depths of in our finite mind. We just can't do that. This man can't. And I would suppose you're not a whole lot different. I know here that in this room and in this big of a crowd, there's a lot of different abilities. And your minds and your brains work in different capacities, and that's how God made us. It's okay. It's completely fine. Use the capacity that the Lord has given us to give Him glory. Let's try to remember that. I wasn't able to observe all of you young people, but just a few moments as we passed by the sisters passing out bread and passing the wine. And we stood right here, and Brother Curtis told me, he said, there's like 11 young or 22 young folks, guys here. Bless you and thank you for being here. Thank you, young girls, for being here. Young ladies. And I want to ask us a question tonight. Do looks matter? And to a teenage girl and a teenage guy, the answer is yes. Looks matter. Tonight we have spent some time looking. At the onset of the evening's meeting, we looked into our hearts. We searched our hearts and laid them bare before our God. And then we gave another look and we started to look around. And what I mean by that is we started to go around and wash one another's feet. A certain look of looking around and serving each other. After that, we took of the supper. And we started to look in a whole other direction. We were looking forward to a time when we could be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do looks matter? Then we started to look back. And we considered what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, some 2,000 years ago. We looked at his broken body. We looked at the blood that to the ground for you and for me. And I ask us again, do looks matter? You young people and you visitors, from the perspective you were sitting, you were looking on. And thank you for that. You were looking at your parents, at your friends, at your brothers, at your sisters, at your grandpa or grandma. You were making observation of something very special tonight. And there's a blessing in that. But there's a richer and a deeper blessing in looking from the table. I want to encourage you young people to continue looking. To continue looking. You sisters, I know you're not all married. You might not all have children. But continue to look. Look out for each other and for the good of one another. For your sisters. If you're married, for your husbands. If you have children, for your children. If you have grandchildren, look out for your grandchildren. We'll really never know the full benefit of that until we don't do it. Brothers, young men, all of us together, I want to encourage you to keep looking. If you're married, look out for your spouse, your wife. If you have children, look out for your children. If you have grandchildren, look out for your grandchildren. Look well to the jobs that you have that provide for your families. And it will serve you well. But more important than that, and this is for all of us, there's another look that I want to encourage us in. This morning as we read in that chapter, it was Isaiah 52, the last verse, I think. It said, see and consider. And I hope tonight that we have looked at Jesus and that we will continue to look to Him for our source of strength and energy and peace and salvation and whatever other descriptive words you can come up with that bless you. To Jesus. Hebrews says it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it. And He finished it, and He's all of everything in between. And whatever that interprets into your life, Jesus can be that. And how do we do it? Through the lens of faith. I wear glasses, and that's a lens that helps me see. My wife will often scold me on the way to church and tell me that I should have cleaned my own glasses before we were on our way to church. She graciously cleans them for me. She says I need to clean them every morning, the first thing when I'm getting ready. Times like this cleanse our lenses, that we can get a better view of our Savior and the price that He paid for our salvation. Hallelujah. I don't think that a whole lot more needs to be said. We've prayed several times tonight. Tonight we're at this prayer, at the close of this meeting. We're going to invite everyone in the house to stand up and we can pray for what we have looked at. So let's rise in prayer. Father, gracious Father, loving Father, merciful Father, O Father in heaven, we've had the privilege again tonight to look at the cost of our salvation, to look at the price that You paid for us, to look at the love that You poured out on the cross on that old hill outside of the city, Golgotha. And we've looked at brighter things than the gloomy thing of death. We've looked toward heaven, and we've looked and we've observed and we've considered the joy that comes from all of the horrible things that went around your death. The hope of salvation. The hope of an eternity in your presence. The hope of peace and love evermore. Father, I pray that you would bless each person in the house tonight. I don't know what everybody's needs are, but you do. Sometimes we don't even know what our own needs are, but you do. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the rich provision that you make for us to come to this place tonight. Thank you for all those who have labored on our behalf to make this evening work like it did. There was some work to do, and bless those who have worked. Bless those brothers who have stood before us and expounded upon the foot washing and the suffering and the death that you died for us. Bless them. Bless our song, bless our meditations, bless our prayers as they ascend to your throne. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.